So I was just having a discussion on Twitter. I had written in a response to a post on Facebook about what the purpose of Web3 is and the history, Web1 and Web2. It was written by Brian Solis, who is a thinker. I think that would be the way he would describe himself. A leader, a guy who gets up on stage and tells you what is the current thinking. And he does it for corporations, and goes all over the world, and he gets up on the stage and they send people in there to find out what they need to say to go back into their meetings with their board of directors or their management and say, okay, this is what we're doing, and make sure that they have the right words in their pitches so that they're current. This is fuel for the tech industry. So we're now going through this process. I mean, I think it's cynical as hell, but it's a fact. It is an important function. So now they're trying to figure out what do we say about Web3? And now the VC industry is fully aware of this process, and so they know how to tweak this, and they know how to insert an idea into this flow, and so that it now comes up at every board meeting and for all kinds of companies, tech companies, media companies, manufacturing companies, really every kind of company there is. And what the VCs want is their money. And if this is a machine because it generates investment capital, these companies have to put something on their annual report that says, we're all over this Web3 thing. It's like we're reorienting our whole business because we really believe in this. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they list the three things. There's Web 1, Web 2, Web 3. And Web 2 is, whatever. It's Facebook and Spotify and I don't know, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's amazing. Pinterest? It's like they fade away so quickly. That's what it is. That's Web 2. But the fact of the matter is that Web 2 is not just centralized corporate-owned crap that has gotten a very bad reputation. Probably, I don't know if the VCs made the press take down Facebook, but they certainly didn't mind it because they've made all the money they're ever going to make from Facebook. Facebook is now, a public stock, and it doesn't deliver anything like the returns that they did when they were privately held, and the VCs were, running off with like billions and billions of dollars of appreciated, they put the money in, and then the value doubles, triples, it goes up a hundredfold every year. And they love that. It makes them happy because this is what their business is. This is what they do. It's return on investment. And the only return on investment that matters to them is dollars flowing back to their limited partners. And that's how they go back out and they raise another fund. And now they've done the advanced work, and the fund is Web3. Whoa, they've all got Web3 funds and they're taking the money. Where do you think they're getting the money from? You see the system, how it works, right? But it's interesting. So I finally found the concise way to say this, and I put it up and it's getting a lot of flow and it's interesting to watch that idea. But it's also a lot easier to explain now that Don't Look Up, the movie, is out there. I mean, this is the thing that is so insidious about this freaking movie is that, the first, but I mean, I happen to be awake at the time, at the moment that it was, that it became available on Netflix, and I didn't have anything to do, so I just said, look, I saw the preview for the movie, and I said, how could this movie be bad? I mean, look who's in it. And, the preview was funny. Sometimes they manage to find a few funny scenes in a movie, and they or dramatic or whatever the purpose of the movie is, and they make it sound great in a preview, but in reality, it's a shitty movie. But God, all the movies, all the superstars and the two stars of the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, they don't make bad movies. I mean, I hate to tell you, but I mean, even if they're in a bad movie, which I have seen, Jennifer Lawrence has been in a bad movie, some movie, science fiction movie with Ryan Gosling, I think, or Brad Pitt or somebody like that. And she was paired up with them and it was just an awful movie. But you sit through it because it's Jennifer Lawrence and I can't keep my eyes off her. I mean, whatever. This is the thing. I'm fucking in love with Jennifer Lawrence, but they made this whole point in the movie about how they all like the hot scientist. You can stay. She has to go. It was like all these jokes. She had all these great jokes in this movie. Like she, but I have a bag on my head. I'm not really spoiling anything. There's just all these moments in there that you just fucking laugh out loud. It's just. It's the opposite of a shitty movie. It's the best movie. It's a Doctor Strangelove type movie. It's okay, it might be a little long. It might have cut a few things. But look at all the stars. They all needed to get time on screen. And they all did great things with it. Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill, I think is his name. I have trouble with names like that. And the best character of them all for this moment, when we're talking about Web3, who is it? It's the tech billionaire who becomes like a really important character in the story, right? They all do. I mean, they all play their role. The journalists play their role, and you know, the president and the politicians they certainly do. But the thing that ties it all together that, you know, I'm not going to do too many spoilers here, but I mean, this is all spoilers, right? But I'm not going to go too far, is the tech guy is just wonderful. And I can tell you, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, Web3, there's probably a good idea in there, and they're not paying attention to whose shtick it is and where at this stage in something like this, who stands to profit the most from it and who's going to be paying the money. They have the money, by the way. Ford Motor Company can afford to buy a Web3 strategy. Look, I know people who worked in the tech industry in sales at these kinds of companies with this kind of a business model. And one of my friends told me, he said, the way we figured out how much to charge them is we went to their offices and we figured out how much the furniture in their lobby cost, and that's what we charged them. I said, did they ever actually get a product from, we gave them a CD. That was back in the day of CD ROMs, you know. We gave them a CD and a nice folder and a great presentation and for the board of directors, of course, and for the analysts. The stock analysts like it too, because they recommend the stock based on this. And I asked, do you think they ever opened the file folder or stuck the disk in? Yeah, probably not. And how much did they pay for this? An ungodly sum of money. Was it worth it? I didn't ask my friend this because I knew the answer. And the answer is yes, it was totally worth it. As a cash transaction, it was completely fucking worth it. You announce a deal with one of these Web3 companies, and I don't even know their names, probably already there, and your stock goes up. And, you know, you sell some of your stock on that, and you do another deal with the stock, goes up again. You're seen as a, you know, brick-and-mortar, old-fashioned legacy company, but is doing all the right things to stay relevant. And that's it. So that's what you're being told. It's like these guys, and, you know, you watch the fucking movie. Go watch the movie. And ask yourself, like, what do these people care about? Do they care about empowering users? Because that's what they say they're doing. But no, of course they don't. Of course not. It has nothing to do with it. If you went to one of their board meetings, and it would be like the movie Heaven Can Wait. Do you ever see that one? It's another great movie. Along these exact same lines, by the way. You know, if you go to one of their board meetings, you say, well, show me the part about empowering users. They would all laugh. They would laugh at you. They would say, who are you, Mother Teresa? Because, by the way, I have been asked that question personally by the CEO of one of these high-flying companies at the moment of highest flight. You know, say, well, you could afford to do something nice for the users. Why don't you fucking do it, you know? Who are you, Mother Teresa? They won't do it because even if they could do it and it wouldn't cost them anything, they won't do it because it isn't what they do. It's not how they see the world. They don't give a shit. Their whole business model, if you looked at their business card and you had a little light that you could shine on it that would tell you the truth about what's there, the guy's title would be, we don't give a shit. That's it. We don't give a shit. We don't give a shit about anything. We're going to destroy the whole fucking planet, you know? Because, why? Because we don't give a shit. Now, Don't Look Up was the perfect movie at the perfect time. Whether it does any good or not, who the fuck cares? It's a movie. This is the thing that all the reviewers, they get caught up for some reason. I mean, I think they could write a great story about this. They could say, I laughed all through the movie. It has all these great gags and jokes. And these actors are fucking inspired. They're playing off of each other. They know how great the other people are. And they're all wanting to come in there and do their best. And something about this project clicked. And they were really doing it. And they know how good it is. And if you were to relax and forget all the things you know about writing movie reviews and just sit down and enjoy the movie, that's what your review should be about. Did you enjoy the movie? Did you get suspension of disbelief? Did you laugh out loud? Because if you laughed out loud, how could you give it a bad review? That's like the best thing you can say about a movie. Did it hold your attention? No, if it didn't, well, I guess I feel sorry for you because there was an event happened here. I wasn't old enough when Dr. Strangelove came out to tell you anything at all about what kind of effect it had on the world. You would think that it should have had a big effect. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Probably didn't because I don't see any results from it. I don't see that all the races, that we had, that was one of the big jokes in the movie was, you know, a race for this and a race for that, you know, between Russia and the United States and in nuclear. You know, the end of that movie is like the end of this one. The world is destroyed. I don't know if it had any effect. And I don't think that if it had no effect, I don't think that makes it a worse movie. I think that I want them to hit the spot. And I want them to say things that get me interested and excited. And I want them to do it in a way that's funny. That gets me happy. And it gives me a tool. That's why I picked up the phone today to record this. It gives me a tool. Because now I can show you exactly what I'm talking about. Because the VCs here, now I want to point out actually that I do know VCs who are principled people who, what more can you say about somebody that they're principled, that says that they're a good person and they're not just out for money and they will consider the implications, the effects what they do have on people and they do like the idea of using technology to empower people. They really do. They do exist. It's still not their business, though. Their business is to squeeze dollars out of your freedom, really, is what it comes down to. So, anyway, now we have something. When I talk about the VCs, I could say, go watch the movie. Think about the tech guy. Most of them are like that. Now you know. It takes the blinders off, in a way, and it's beautiful that they did that. Now you don't have to be stupid. You have a good example. Now, it doesn't mean that most people will not be stupid, but that's fine. That's just the way it goes. It's not the job of a movie to fix all the problems that have been created in climate change and COVID and, you know, autocracies and whatever else is coming down the road. It's not their job to fix that. That isn't what movies do. Movies are literature. They're art. They're creativity. They get us moving. They make us think and feel. It's art. It's how it bounces off of you that matters. Anyway, that's it. Talk to you later. Bye.